Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
The ceiling can't hold us, Tammy. Get out those credit cards. Let's do some spending. What do you think of that?
No kidding.
The ceiling can't hold us.
That's right. That's a great song.
It is a perfect song, considering what's going on with this debt ceiling.
Exactly.
There is no ceiling holding this government.
Apparently not. And if there was, it's going to be raised. So,
yes, it will.
What's your opinion on that, Doug?
Oh, it's definitely going to be raised. It's, what is this, 11, 12 times they've done this over the last 20 years?
More than that, actually. Well, since its conception in 1917, which, you know, even before that, George Washington wanted to have some sort of spending because he had to have World War One. So it was created way back then for a purpose of trying to get money fast when there was an emergency. So, you know, I don't know what constitutes emergencies anymore in the government, but, you know, we're at over 100 times now that they've changed it. Unlike Denmark, who's changed it once in 20 years.
Well, you know what, at least there is a ceiling, but it doesn't really mean much if they keep raising it.
Exactly. I mean, you think visually, I had a friend that, you know, she spent a lot of money and didn't have the money to pay the bills, you know, so it's like, just because you have checks, doesn't mean you have money in the bank, right?
Right.
So, what is this all about?
Well, we may have to talk about this a little more because this is a great topic. So, welcome everyone to the Doug Haldeman Show, which is dedicated to being your resource for all your real estate, finance, and credit needs, and helping you spend your money responsibly. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. For the past 17 years, my passion has been helping clients develop debt strategies that have led to wealth creation and smarter spending. I'm an experienced real estate investor and a licensed mortgage lender, NMLS number 298-419.
When you need a trusted resource for your mortgage or real estate need, or if you have a comment or question, just text or call Doug personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, and the numbers on that is 3684. Or you can visit his website, DougHaldeman.com. That's DougHaldeman.com. You will hear this trusted advice every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1.
So, Tammy, this debt ceiling, what do you think of this thing? This is, I mean, the debt ceiling is part of it, but what really bothers me is government spending. It's killing me.
Spending in general
is killing
me.
It's killing our kids.
Right. Well, you know, it's really hard to live in an economy that we're trying to preach to our children to spend with responsibility, and our government isn't quite doing that. And I think it's...
And between our eight kids, they can definitely spend us into the hole, so we know that.
Right, and they constantly come at us trying to raise our debt ceiling.
Right.
So... You know,
the ceiling can't hold us.
Right, exactly. Right.
It's going to have to, though.
Right. Well, you know, what's also interesting, because I had to do some research, because, you know, I read the Sinead O'Connor letter to, what's her name? Miley Cyrus, which was very interesting, but that doesn't affect my future.
Sinead O'Connor letter to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, actually. She had a lot to say. There was some bad words in there, but, you know, she probably needed a wake-up call. But
mad about her copying her hairdo?
Yeah, pretty much. No. what's interesting is that, you know, the debt ceiling isn't in our Constitution. It isn't something that has to be there. It was provided for us to kind of give the government some leniency when it was necessary to have to spend quickly, like in war. I mean, the debt ceiling is like a fire alarm or an alert.
You know, an alert, just like a credit card. On my credit card, I have an alert set up that when I get close to the limit, it sends me an alert. You know, somebody's standing there waving their arms going, hey, buddy, you're getting close to the limit. You better slow down on your spending here.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going off right now, but nobody's really paying enough attention to start changing the habits.
Right. Well, you're given a lot of options when your alert is there. You can pay off your credit card balance or pay down your credit card balance. You can go over the limit and pay the fees, or what else?
What a great time to go back to look at the budget.
Right.
And say it's time to change the budget.
Right.
Where are we spending our money?
On benefits, a lot of benefits. A lot of programs started that are they necessary or not?
That's a fantastic question. Are those programs necessary? Because once you start a program, you better not take it away. I mean, Tammy, you remember when our kids, we decided to cut out cable in our house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to cut the budget. Great idea. We're going to get rid of cable.
It was the end of the world.
Oh, my gosh. We were the worst parents in the world. We're going to torture these kids. Right. They were hysterical when we decided to get rid of cable.
Exactly.
A couple years later, they don't even notice it.
No.
They don't even notice it. But you know, we had to go through the pain to withdraw that entitlement
right.
that they had. And now there are so many government entitlements that you better not start it or you can't take it away. And Obamacare is this train barreling down the tracks. Mm-hmm. The Republicans are trying to wave their arms and stop this thing and you know, and say, listen, this is going to cost trillions of dollars on top of the already upside-down budget we have right now.
Right, right. And I think last week on our show when we had Susan on, Susan Carpenter, it was very informational. I mean, I had no idea. You know, somebody's got to make up that gap.
Somebody does have to make up the gap, and that's the next entitlement that's getting ready to start that's going to make a bad situation worse because at some point you can't just keep borrowing. We're now at 100%. Our debt is at 100% of our GDP, our gross domestic product. At some point, just the cost to carry the debt, the interest carry on it, is too much.
Right.
And once your credit cards all get maxed out and all your money's going to pay for just the interest, you can never even make any headway toward the principal.
Right.
What do you do? Your way out is you eventually file bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you do. There's no other real way out of those situations. And where do you cut spending at this point becomes a much tougher question that nobody really wants to answer because when you get a whole system that's set up around re-election, a system that's set up around the status quo, too many people have a vested interest in the status quo to really have anything invested in the change.
Right.
Nobody will do it. It's tough decisions. I'll use Social Security as an example because I'm a believer that elderly people need to be taken care of.
They Most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. But when there are more people taking out than putting in, the numbers just don't work because the number of Americans that are at least age 65 is projected to increase by 37% over the next decade and by 85% over the next 25 years. Okay, so if we have 85% more people that are going to be retirement age over the next 25 years, yeah, good luck with that one.
Right, exactly.
It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
It's not to say we shouldn't have Social Security, but you have to continue to raise the age to keep
There's got to be a balance. Again, everything comes back to balance. You know, what is it? And trying to figure that out.
Well, there's pain involved with every one of these solutions.
There is.
But the pain of discipline weighs ounces. The pain of regret weighs tons.
Right.
And that's what we're going to have is regret that we didn't have more discipline along the way to have a disciplined budget and disciplined spending. You know, all those things are great, but we just can't afford it. I mean, I watch it with all these government agencies that go down to 4% of their staff, yet they're still open and they're still functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's got to be some fat there.
Well, it seems to be so. So Jimmy Fallon, on his show the other night, he said, this debt crisis still isn't solved, but yesterday the White House said it's working on a plan B. Unfortunately, that's B for bake sale. I thought that was hilarious.
They're going to be holding car washes.
We're going to be, I can just see it now, you know, car washes, bake sales to help
our Girl Scout cookies, door to door.
Exactly. Speaking of the government, there are some structures in place, these government-sponsored enterprises. Are they still available, and what are those exactly? Can you explain to the listeners?
Okay, there is a lot of confusion between the different agencies that issue loans. When we talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they kind of get thrown in with FHA, VA. It just to start to understand the difference in the structures, it is pretty important because the loan programs are very different. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government agencies that used to be what they called quasi-governmental agencies, meaning that they were actually independently owned companies that the government kind of oversaw them. They had stocks that traded on the stock market exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy stock in Fannie and Freddie, and they'd produce profits, they'd produce losses, just like any other company. But the government backed them, which basically added a lot more security to the housing market. Now, after their crash, the government actually owns them. So they are now government agencies, but they're different than FHA.
So are they still working? Are they still available?
They are still working, yes.
Okay.
They're still working because they're still getting funded with loans that are going on out there.
True. Okay.
FHA, a little bit different. 96% of their people are off right now. Okay, what FHA does, the difference is that they don't actually make loans. FHA insures loans. Okay, so when somebody does a loan, if I do an FHA loan for somebody, the loan actually gets sold to another one of the sisters called Ginny Mae. Okay, Ginny Mae buys
like
the
stepchildren going on here.
I know. Ginny Mae buys the loan. FHA insures the loan. So if the borrower defaults on the loan, you may have a lender that's servicing it. FHA insures the losses for that lender.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a little bit different. Okay. VA loan is actually guaranteed by VA. Not just insured, but it's guaranteed. It's a little bit different. And then you have USDA loans, another government organization too, you know, also called Rural Development. Beyond those, so you have Fannie Freddie, then FHA and VA. Those are almost all the loans that are going on out there.
Okay.
The secondary market would be the next layer of loans, and that used to be a huge percentage of our market. Okay, the secondary market is anything that's not an agency loan, which agency really can, you know, be Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac normally,
right.
But not FHA, not VA, not USDA. Now we move into private organizations that are lending money.
Okay.
The jumbo market is the biggest portion of the secondary market now. So anybody with a loan amount over $417,000 gets a jumbo loan. And there's only a handful of lenders out there that are really giving jumbo loans anymore. We used to have what we called the Alt-A market and the subprime market that were also part of the secondary market that would be some sort of alternative to the prime market or these agency loans for people with the best credit ratings. And they'd have all kinds of creative programs out there, and obviously a few too many creative programs as they went under, but there's still a huge need for these, you know, for secondary market, but it just hardly even exists right now.
Okay, so we had a listener last week that I actually talked to, and she was trying to get a loan through another loan lender, and she had a credit score of 600, and she said her lender told her that she didn't qualify, that wasn't available. She had to have a 640 is what she was told. So but you got it done. So how come you got it done and the other lender couldn't get it done? What's that difference? Why is that different?
Okay, Tammy, the answer to that question, how come that lender said a 600 credit score couldn't go through and said it was FHA guidelines that they had to have a 640, but we were able to get it done as an FHA loan? The answer to that is the difference between guidelines and, you know, agency guidelines and investor overlays. So we're actually going to answer that question when we return. You'll listen to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Here we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Here we go back.